Well, I think there's a lot of moving parts here, and domestic terrorism in overall has been a second tier counterterrorism priority in the United States government. And when threats come in from someone who is in the domestic realm, it is taken seriously, but isn't given the credence in a lot of cases that it would be if it was a foreign threat. And that's just because after 9/11, a lot of the resources went towards international terrorism. And actually, the domestic terrorism definition under federal statute is good, but there is no penalty that goes along with that actual violation. So that shows what level of importance the US government has given to domestic terrorism issues over the past 20 years. And I think that's one of the issues is that it has had a lower status in the threat arena. The information that comes into intelligence agencies, the FBI, is clearly important, obviously, and it is run up the flagpole, but there are a lot of issues that come in when you get raw intelligence. And a lot the main issues are, is there an actual threat? Is there a location for that threat, a time for that threat? And that raw intelligence is passed through the Joint Terrorism Task Force to the many agencies that are on board there. And whether that information gets to the highest points within those agencies is an issue that needs to be looked into. But again, the information that comes in is not always given the level of importance because of the domestic nature of it. And that's an unfortunate fact that I think needs to be changed.
So now, looking at that, and you say something that needs to be changed, how do you envision briefly that change taking place? Is this a new layer of bureaucracy, or is this a tweak, or how does this get changed?
I think the first thing that needs to happen is that there needs to be a penalty assigned to the definition of domestic terrorism under federal law. And currently, there is not one. And Congress could come together and easily say that if you use force or violence to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or to influence the policy of a government, that is the definition of domestic terrorism and that there is actually a criminal violation under US code for that. I'm not thinking that there needs to be increased surveillance activity. There doesn't need to be increase in authorities for investigation. I don't think that we should be designating groups as terrorist groups as we do with the international realm. First Amendment was not given the title of First Amendment because it was kind of important. It is something that we really need to continue to protect. And by making a law that says that domestic terrorism in and of itself is a crime, I think we're making the citizens of the United States, the government of the United States, everyone realize that it needs to be taken very seriously. If you were to rob a store and you were charged with robbery, that's one thing. If you rob a bank and you're charged with bank robbery, that shows the seriousness of that violation. And I think domestic terrorism needs to be taken seriously.
So, speaking of domestic terrorism itself, let's talk about who they are. Who comprises this group of people called domestic extremists or domestic terrorists?
Well, and that's a great question. The most important part of that is that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies don't actually look at groups or ideologies. They're looking at the criminal violations that go along with that group or ideology. So, groups themselves are not deemed illegal in the United States, nor do I think they should be on any of the ideologies that we're talking about. But the groups that we saw converging at the Capitol, the ideologies were anti-government. There were some white supremacists, the QAnon group that was also fully in action there, all came together for what was really a perfect storm of radical ideologies that stormed the Capitol. Now, what took place on the mall itself, That's First Amendment protected activity. And that is not terrorism. What took place inside the U.S. Capitol is criminal violations. And if they reach to the point of meeting that definition of domestic terrorism, then potentially they should be charged with that. So a lot of different groups came together, and you have to really look at the history of domestic extremism in the United States to see why we got to where we are today. And the 1990s had the rise of the Patriot Movement, the militias, and it was done because of the perception that the government had overreached their authorities with things like Ruby Ridge and Waco. There was a bad economy that we were coming out of in the 80s. So people were looking for somebody to blame for all of their problems, and the government most times becomes that boogeyman that is called the bad guy. So the government, anti-government extremists formed in the 1990s, and we're seeing the same thing happening now, where the anti-government extremists are also mixing with white supremacists and groups such as the Boogaloo Boys, who are calling for a civil war. It is really a mix of ideologies and conspiracy theories that brought us to where we are today on the 6th.
Tom O'Connor is a retired FBI agent with a specialty in counterterrorism. He's now the principal consultant at Fed Squared Consulting. J.J. Green, WTOP News.